Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, man, I am so pumped up for hour number two. It's unbelievable. Yeah, you better believe it. The best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here on the Mark Hoke Show. On KDON 101.5 FM, it is the talk of Las Vegas. We are simply the best. That's just the way it is. No denying it. I'm ready to hop in the ring. Let's go. Let's go. And I want to congratulate, by the way, from our last hour, our first ticket winner for the day for TNA Rebellion, Marissa Garcia of Las Vegas, scored a 4-pack of tickets to head to TNA Rebellion this coming weekend. So congratulations to Marissa, who, you know, and I'm going to get Stu Meyer on here, by the way, from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling down in Austin, Texas, because he's going to get a kick out of this, who had said she has seen Rocky Johnson and Peter Maivia, which is just absolutely phenomenal. So good for her. So she's going to get to enjoy some TNA wrestling. So let's get Stu in here, of course. How you doing, Stu? Good to see you.
Man, I'm good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right. Can you tell I'm a little hopped up all of a sudden?
Yeah, I was going to say, talking about getting the ring, I'm the lead commentator for the Rhodes Wrestling Academy, led by the incomparable, the natural Dustin Rhodes. And he always jokes about me taking a bump. I'm going, no. People do not want to see commentators take bumps. That's why we are behind the microphone.
I'll take a bump. Tell Dustin to come. I'll tell you what I'll do. You guys fly me down. I'll take a bump. Stu, you can give me the bump.
I'll pass it by Dustin next time I'm over there.
That would be good. You know, yeah, have Dustin come on. I'll get into it with him a little bit, and then we'll set it up. It'll work.
Yeah.
You could bump me too, man. I'm sure you could hurt me if you wanted.
Yeah. But
I'll give you a little beard tug.
You should. No, I stay behind the microphone.
It's all good. Well, we're very excited to have you on. But I do want to mention before we get rolling here, I have a little surprise for everybody.
Ooh.
All my listeners. And by the way, Marissa said she loves the show. And boy, you know, it's so cool when you have listeners say that stuff to you.
It is.
You know, when you're doing radio, because you're not in front of an audience. And just when somebody says that kind of neat kind of stuff to you, it just makes you feel really good. You know,
you're absolutely right. When my show was on the horn here in Austin, and I'd go to wrestling events, whether it was Inspire After Death or Wrestle Circus or whatever, and people would come up and tell me that they liked the show, and it meant a lot to me. It really did. So I value every listener I can get.
Yeah, we all do appreciate that. So if you ever see any of us, like, you know, if you're down in Austin and you see Stu, you know, give him a pat on the back and say, Stu, we love you. Because we do. We all do. But here's my surprise. I'm not done giving away tickets to TNA Rebellion.
Ooh.
Oh, no, 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 no. We've given away 9 sets of tickets of these 4 packs between SportsX Radio and now my show. I've got one more to go, Stu.
All right.
And it's supposed
to be a big show.
And it's not just, you know, a set of, you know, tickets somewhere in the Palms Theater. I've got ringside, baby.
Oh, there you go.
I got a 4-pack of ringside seats just sitting in my grubby little hands, ready to give away at some point this hour. I'm not saying when. No. Right. I want you to just keep listening. Be ready. Keep that phone number in hand, 702-257-5396. 702-257-5396. And when I give you the word, dial up, and you could be sitting in the ringside area for TNA Rebellion. That's going to be an awesome card, Stu. Have you seen this card?
It is. It's going to be a great card. You got Moose, Nick Nemeth headlining it for the TNA World title. I mean, such a great card, up and down. You know, TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. You know, they're that promotion that, you know, because they're on Access TV, which doesn't get as much of a clearance on different cable systems as other channels, but they are just so consistently good, which is kind of surprising to say considering their history. They have had a very up and down history, but right now they are doing some of the best work they've been doing in a long time, and it'll continue next weekend with Rebellion.
Yeah, they got to find a new network. I think that's a big step for them. If they could find some other place to air this program, because they have a ton of talent there. Like this feud with Josh Alexander and Hammerstone, people would be eating this up.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, I mean, Josh Alexander is so good, and people are, you know, I mean, obviously Hammerstone was in MLW, but they kind of had the same problem that Impact TNA had with being very limited on what people were seeing. But we've seen Hammerstone out here a lot in Vegas. And
yeah,
you know, we know how good he is.
Yeah, we've seen him quite a bit here in the Lone Star State as well. And Hammerstone is just such a talented individual and so built. And Josh Alexander is just a phenomenal wrestler, plus a great guy. I've had him on my show several times, just a wonderful individual. And yeah, MLW has the kind of the same problem being on BN Sports, which I think most everybody considers a soccer network, and they show a lot of soccer on that channel. So, you know, TNA owned by Anthem, who also owns Access TV. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a stretch for them to find another cable network that would take them on. I think they could, but it's, you know, it's kind of like they're keeping everything in the house for right now.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be some more changes pretty soon. I'm just wondering with this whole thing that ended up with Scott D'Amore, if they're going to, you know, I don't know. There's a little birdie's telling me there's some things going on, so we'll find out. But it's going to be a great weekend here in Las Vegas, and looking forward to seeing everybody at the Palms Theater, because that is a great venue, Stu. And that, if you ever get out here to Vegas, you get a chance to be in there. I mean, it reminds me of like it doesn't go all the way around like the Hammerstein Ballroom, but it's got a modern flavor like that place, and it's just a terrific spot to watch wrestling. It's not a bad seat in that house. So if you come out and if you want to get tickets, you're gonna have a great time. I promise you really will. So
that'll be a good one. Yeah. And I'd like to visit the Palms. I'm coming out for Cauliflower Alley Club in August. So I may see if I can visit there, you know, for an hour or so.
Yeah. While I'm there. You gotta come out for Double or Nothing too.
I'll see yeah. If I can. I'm considering it. We'll see if I can get out there.
Yeah, you know, Dustin might need somebody to carry his bags around or something like that, you know?
Well, if I come out there, I don't, you know, I get media credentials like the rest of us.
Right.
So I don't get, you know, so, you know, Dustin might know I'm there, but that's about it.
Yeah. I want to meet Dustin. I have not met him yet, and that would be awesome. So
he's wonderful.
Yeah.
I was just with Mark Henry. So Mark Henry is trying to get his brand out there. So he hosted an advanced screening of the movie The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh yeah.
This week. Well, he had an advanced screening at a great, it's called Movie House Eatery and Cinema. It's in the western side of Austin. He was there. His son Jacob, who is committed to Oklahoma as a wrestler. Which, you know, and he was sitting there with that big OU sweatshirt, and it was everything I could do to not just, you know, give him free. I love Jacob. I covered Jacob for 2-3 years playing high school football here in the great state of Texas. And so it's great. It was great to see Jacob. Of course, great to see Mark as well. And yeah, it was a fun night. And I tell you what, like I said, I think the movie gets released on Friday. Go see the movie. It is a lot of fun. It is not for the weak of heart, and it is definitely not for the kiddies. But yeah, it's a fun movie, so go check it out.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I'm sure, are having a lot of fun down there, with you being so close to the Rhodes family after what happened at WrestleMania. And, you know, it's part of the reason I'm excited to get that you could come on the show for me today, because I can only imagine what the reaction was with everybody being so close to Cody and everything that he's gone through, to see him at that spot winning the WWE Universal Championship, considering that Vince had thrown him out on his butt in 2016. I mean, what a night with, I mean, Samantha Irvin's voice is cracking. Everybody's coming down to the ring. Michael Cole is in tears. I was crying. I mean, because I saw what he went through. What was it like for all of you that were so close to the family to see Cody win that championship?
You know, I've watched that the last, you know, 5-6 minutes of that match, I don't know, at least half a dozen times, and I get in tears every time. It's and Dustin was there. Dustin was in a suite there at the Lincoln Financial Field there in Philadelphia. I know how proud he is. He and I have talked about that so many times. It's a validation of what Cody did when he left WWE back in 2016, went on the indie tour. He came here for Wrestle Circus as the Ring of Honor World Champion, had his stint in TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and then, of course, you know, founding AEW with the Bucks and with Kenny Omega and with Tony Khan, did everything with that. And to have him come back and now be, as he called it, as he says, he's the quarterback. He's in the spot of Roman Reigns and John Cena before him. He's in that spot now. And so it's his time. And it really showed what it means to bet on yourself and grow your brand, grow yourself as a, not only as an individual, but as a wrestler. And now to see him with that belt around his waist, it's, you know, it warms your heart. It really does.
Yeah. And I think people that may have just been casual WWE fans and not knowing everything that he went through to get back to that point, you know, and everything that his family went through too. I mean, you know, the story with Dusty and that Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Stu, you probably know a little bit more about that than I do. You know, tell everybody a little bit about that, because I think that's an incredible story with that Rolex.
Well, it was simply, you know, there was a point where Dusty was not working, and it was, you know, and they were, and I, if I remember correctly, I think it was when they were kids, you know, both Dustin and Cody, or maybe it was, you know, Dustin had moved off and Cody was still a kid. And, you know, Dusty wanted to make sure he could provide for his family, but he wasn't working. So it finally came down. He had to pawn off this watch to basically keep the lights on in his house. And from everything I've been told by Dustin is Dusty, you know, he was so committed to making sure the family had what they needed, you know, to live day by day. There were times it was not extravagant by any means, and there were times they had to scrape by. Thus, the reason to pawn off the Rolex. And so to get that back, it gave Cody a sense of validation. He always talks about being from undesirable to undeniable. He is most definitely undeniable now. And I like I said, I'm lucky enough to know Cody. I call him a friend. He is what he is doing now is just it makes you proud to be a wrestling fan, quite honestly. And one of the things I saw, so Cody, whenever Cody goes out there, he makes sure, shake hands, he signs autographs, gets selfies. One of the things I'll never forget, the very first time I went to a Ring of Honor, it'd be the second one, second Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor in 2017 in Lakeland, Florida. That's where I met Kerry Silken, who's now one of my dearest friends. And one of the things I watched after the match, and that was when the Young Bucks and the Hardys had a ladder match in the main event for the Ring of Honor tag team titles. Young Bucks win. Hardys gave them the ring. They took their bow, and then they spent the next 45 minutes walking around the ring on the outside, making sure to shake every fan's hand, to take a selfie, sign autographs. They did that for 45 minutes. I'm standing there with one of the other Ring of Honor wrestlers, and I just said, this is why people come to see wrestling shows. And I gotta imagine Cody, understood that when he saw the Bucks do that. And from what I know, Matthew Nicholas, whatever you want to call him, Matt and Nick did that for every show. And I got to imagine, as close as they were to Cody, Cody said, you know what? I need to do that too. And now we see it. And, it's just a, if you invest your fanhood in Cody Rhodes, it's a good investment.
Yeah. And, and just, of course, we're on Stu Myrick coming to us from Austin, Texas, Scored Sports Guys, talking wrestling, his great podcast, and, just a wrestling legend down there in Texas, and very happy to have him on the show. And just of the match in general, I don't know if they could have done it much better than what they did. I mean, that was just plain pro wrestling fun and history all rolled up into one. In a normal circumstance, that would have been considered an overbooked match, but the way they did it, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It was overbooked, but it was overbooked in the best way.
Yeah,
it really was. Having Seth Rollins come out with the Shield music, wearing the Shield gear. I wish he had gotten at least one blow in, but I get why they decided, to go that way. But then you had The Rock, and then here comes another great Austinite in The Undertaker, which, we heard the reports about how that was supposed to be Stone Cold, and they couldn't come to terms. I'll take Undertaker any day of the week. Mm-hmm. He will do just fine. And it was wonderful. And the funny thing was the whole card of WrestleMania both nights. I mean, yeah, you had your moments when maybe it didn't quite, energize people, but overall it was a really good card, and it's been a long time since we could say that about a WrestleMania card. And so kudos to Triple H and Nick Khan and everybody, behind the scenes and everything, because that was a really good show. And to cap it off with Cody winning the title, and now we'll see what he does going forward.
That is going to be interesting, because now it's time to do it all over again. And the story's finished, at least that chapter. That book's not done, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and some other things going on, like some security footage got played this week on AEW Dynamite, and I'm going to be interested to get Stu's thoughts, because I've been hearing what everybody's thinking about it. But I value Stu's opinion over many others because he's brilliant. He is a wrestling god out there, because that's what he is, Stu Meyer. But I'm going to play a wrestling Santa Claus right now, as I'm going to close my phone lines up. We're going to hit a magic button here. Here we go. This is radio magic coming up, and I'm going to give you a chance right now to win ringside seats for TNA Rebellion pay-per-view end of the Pearl Concert Theater at the Palms Saturday, April 20th, 4 p.m. courtesy of TNA Wrestling. Caller number 10 is going to win that four pack of tickets to be down on the floor for this great pay-per-view from TNA. Caller 10, I'm going to wish you guys all the best of luck. As soon as I shut my mouth, start dialing 702-257-5396, and you could be sitting ringside for TNA's Rebellion pay-per-view. Maybe you'll get some moose sweat on you. It should be fun. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. More with Stu Myrick here on The Mark Hoke Show. We will be right back.
This is The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Woo, little radio magic there as we get back to The Mark Hoke Show here on KDON 101.5 FM. It is the talk of Las Vegas, and we do have a winner, everybody. So just let me take care of those lines. So somebody trying to win. I do know we do have a winner though, guys. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us on the Mark Hoke Show. As Stu Myrick, everybody. Stu, what's going on?
Man, just a beautiful day here in Central Texas.
Betcha it's a nice day here too. As the weather, getting the weather going well here in Las Vegas. About darn time. It's been a little bit crazy. I want to congratulate our winner of those ringside seats coming in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. How about that? Chris Baca. Got that 4-pack of tickets, ringside seats for TNA Rebellion. So way to go, Chris Baca. Coming in from...
That'd be a fun trip.
Yeah, so Albuquerque, New Mexico. Very nice. All right. So, yeah, that was close. I got to call him back, though. I got all his information, so we'll take care of you, Chris. So hang in there as I am in studio alone. I'm doing this all by myself, Stu.
Yeah, it happens once in a while.
It does. So, you mentioned the rest of the WrestleMania card, and I do want to just, talk about some of those other matches. Drew McIntyre gets his moment, and I do stress the word moment, as Damian Priest does do the cash-in. What'd you think of that whole thing?
That was fun. I got to know Damian Priest when he was still in Ring of Honor as Punishment Martinez. Such a good dude. And that was the perfect time to cash in. I would dare say it almost matched when Dolph Ziggler cashed in all those years ago against Alberto Del Rio. It was cool. Drew McIntyre had his moment for all of 5 minutes and 46 seconds. I think that's what they said. And then Damian Priest comes down, and that was so good. Of course, CM Punk, kind of helped that along a little bit, and so we'll see. I'm sure we will see Drew McIntyre probably go a little bit further off the deep end. Meanwhile, you've got the world champion and the women's world champion both in Judgment Day with Rhea Ripley. Man, that faction's looking pretty strong right now.
Yeah. Now we just got to get a tag team title change. I hate to say it, but this isn't going to probably last too long with Awesome Truth. The Truth got his moment, but I have a feeling those titles are going to go pretty quick.
I like to see Miz and R-Truth with those tag titles. We'll see who takes them from them. If I were a betting man, I'd say it's not from Judgment Day. I would say it's going to be another tag team there. Well, I mean, I say on Raw, we'll find out because you got the draft coming up this week. So, which is funny because Mark Henry and I, of course, we're both, football fans. So he was asking me about the draft. I said, NFL draft, right? He looked at me, yes, of course, NFL draft. Because, of course, we're both long-suffering Cowboys fans. And the Cowboys haven't exactly, helped themselves in free agency. So we'll see. But, yeah, you got the WWE draft coming up in 2 weeks. So we'll see who ends up on which show. I don't think it's going to be one of those – you know, brand exclusive thing, because they, you know, they never do those things. That thing never lasts, and I seriously doubt they will do it this time. But you know, you'll have Raw tag teams and SmackDown tag teams, which good reason to split the tag titles back up. And so you got, you know, Theory and Waller with the SmackDown tag titles, and of course R-Truth and Miz with the Raw tag titles.
I was stunned that I actually picked A-Town down south to win. I did. I picked the split and I nailed it. I couldn't believe it. I was right.
I had a feeling they would get a tag title. So I mean, good on them.
Yeah, I just but I hate the draft. I just hate it. Just shift them around. If you're gonna do it. It's no big deal.
Look, I know
they get good ratings though, so I guess you can't complain too much.
They get good ratings. They, you know, they're trying to look. Everybody's trying to copy what the NFL does with the draft. NBA does it. Major League Baseball even does it every now and again. But you know, the NFL has found that formula with that draft. And look, I was at the 2018 draft when it was in Arlington at Jerry World, and it was a great event there. And so everybody's trying to copy that, and that includes WWE.
You know what? Okay, I just had an idea how to make that draft better. The general manager picks the first person, and then whoever gets drafted picks the next person after that. Now, that would be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that would be interesting. I think, I don't know. I'd have to think about
that. It could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Could be kind of fun.
About that. You know, because you got, you know, like in the NFL draft, Roger Goodell makes all the first round. I think he does. Actually, I think he does, you know, the first three rounds, because you got first round on Thursday and then rounds two and three on Friday. And I think he makes all the picks for both those days. And then they'll have other people doing it on Saturday for 4-7. So
just imagine Roman Reigns is your first pick, and then Nick Aldis is just kind of staring at Roman like, all right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to take one of your buddies, or are you going to make this show good? That could be fun. I'll just come up with some ideas. Anyway, but there was another interesting follow-up after WrestleMania and this whole situation with CM Punk, who gets to make another appearance on Dynamite. Congratulations to him, with this footage being released from All In. And I got to be honest with you, Stu. I think everybody came out looking bad except for Jack Perry. But I just think this was a bad idea. My personal feelings on it. I didn't think they needed to do this at all. I hope Tony got it out of his system. But what do you think about the release of the All In footage with CM Punk and Jack Perry, the 6-second fight of death backstage at All In?
I totally agree. This was when they announced this, I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? You don't, I mean, look, I get it. You got Young Bucks FTR for the tag titles of Dynasty. That doesn't really need much of a push as far as storyline goes. Basically, the two best tag teams in AEW, and some would say two of the best tag teams in the world today. Why do you play this footage? Now, there was the talk about, maybe Tony Khan was, you know, he had a, you know, something in his craw about what CM Punk said on the MMA hour with Ariel Helwani. But it just felt like it felt like a cheap ratings ploy and nothing more. And everybody saw it. There's no audio. Yes, Punk made the first move, but like you said, lasted all 6 seconds. And that was it. And it's like, I watched that segment and I was just shaking my head. There was no reason whatsoever to play that. Look, Tony Khan is obsessed, and we love Tony Khan, but he is obsessed with what they did at Wembley last year. He talks about it every chance he gets. He mentions it every press conference, every media call. It's getting to where if you play a drinking game, if you take a drink every time he mentions All In, you're going to be dead in about 15 minutes.
I would agree. And
it did nothing. And you're right. Jack Perry, I think, might have been the one beneficiary. And if you saw the footage from Windy City Riot from New Japan Pro Wrestling in Chicago, I mean, he's still kind of living in, CM Punk's still living in Jack Perry's head. He had the jacket with Cry Me a River written on the back and held up the flag for, the flag there. And look, we need to get past it. It happened. It's over. CM Punk is doing fine in WWE. It looks like, and that might be the one slight benefit, is that this may lead up to Jack Perry making a return to AEW. I don't know if he helps the Bucks or what, but there was no reason whatsoever to play that footage. If it was me, I'd burn that footage, never let it see the light of day again.
Yeah, I just think Tony was ticked. I think he was ticked off about that interview, and I think the Bucks were mad too. It's just, when you're the challenger brand, you kind of try to do everything you can to punch up a little bit, but I just don't think it helped. Stand on your own merits, because AEW can. They have the talent to do it. Just go out and tell some good stories. Put out the great wrestlers that you have, and you're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. But when you do this kind of stuff, and then you followed it up with Will Ospreay taking a shot at Triple H.
Exactly.
And I was listening to Wrestling Observer, and they're right. The guys are right. It was 20 minutes of you're talking about WWE. So all you're doing is you're drawing attention to WWE. Don't draw attention to what you're doing. You've got a pay-per-view coming up in a week and a half. Talk about that. Mm-hmm. Talk about the fact that you've got Will Ospreay taking on Brian Danielson. Talk about the fact that you've got FTR taking on the Young Bucks again for what should be a terrific match, and all these other great, you got Swerve and Samoa Joe and what's going to be, should be an absolute war that fans are going to love. But instead, here we are. This is what you and I are talking about right now.
Yeah, Will Ospreay, look, I get maybe it ticked you off that Triple H made some veiled threat, but I'll be honest, unless you are into, you go deep down the rabbit hole, most people didn't know what Triple H was talking about. And to call attention to it on Dynamite, yeah, I'm like you. Why are you giving your competition airtime on your show? Like you said, got a pay-per-view in a week in St. Louis. Talk about the quality of that pay-per-view. We know the quality is going to be good. We know the matches are going to be good. The matches are always good. They might be a little long, but the matches are going to be good. Talk about that. Build that up. Quit worrying about what Triple H and the folks at WWE are doing, and just focus on your work. You do a good enough job. Let that do the talking.
Yeah, this is playgroundy stuff. It really is. And, I think that is starting to turn some people off. Mm-hmm. It really is. We've got Double or Nothing coming up here in Las Vegas on Memorial Day weekend. But we're not going to T-Mobile, and it's not that the MGM Garden Grand is a small arena or anything like that. I mean, that seats a lot of people, but it's not a T-Mobile. And that's, and as excited as I am, it's a little disappointing. When you're downgrading, I mean, you're not downgrading by too much, but it's still a smaller venue. And you kind of feel like, I was looking forward to going to T-Mobile.
I get that. I could see the, for lack of a better term, historical perspective of that. Yeah, that's where the first one was held. It's 5 years now. Let's put the same place. And I kind of get that, but yeah, at the same time, it's not in T-Mobile Arena, which is the better known arena. It's where the Knights play. I get that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like T-Mobile wasn't, you know, the only seats that were open in there for the most part were just where the hard cam was. It wasn't like they didn't, you know, the whole, you know, half the arena was shut down or anything like that. It was, you know, there were a lot of people in there. So I don't know, but it's just, they've got to just take it easy. And, you know, and it was funny, the whole thing with Kenny Omega coming out, and he did that Twitch interview and, you know, was talking about, I'm not an EVP. You know, I thought it was funny that kind of led to that. You know, the Bucks are playing this up, and then Kenny Omega's like, I'm not, you know, this isn't my thing. He's basically saying, I just want to be a wrestler, man. I'm done. I'm done with it. I thought that was interesting, really.
Well, and if you heard, you know, heard Cody talk about it, he didn't like being an EVP. He wanted to be a wrestler. And he said as much. The Young Bucks playing this up, I get it. It's the heel turn. They're going to be schmarmy heels. I was not crazy about their heel turn because it felt to me, and I could be totally off, it felt to me like people want to cheer the Young Bucks. But the Young Bucks are doing this thing about, you know, they're using their powers and stuff, and I get it. It does make some sense storyline-wise, but honestly, we all know, you know, the buck stops with Tony Khan. And it's as it should be, I guess. You know, so let them, I guess they can let this thing play out, but I'll be glad when it plays out and they decide to switch gears, honestly.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah, I don't mind the Bucks' heels. I'm okay with it, but, yeah, just maybe in a different way. But I don't mind them acting a little snotty. I'm cool with that. But, yeah, the boss thing, you know, that's played out. I mean, I'm not big on The Rock pulling the boss card either. You know, I don't mind The Rock being a jerk because The Rock can play a jerk. But but I'm not big on the whole, like, I'm going to fire you as a referee kind of thing. You know, that, I don't know, just Vince did it. You know, it's done. It's done.
I'm there with you a little bit. I mean, I get it. I think The Rock pulled it off a little bit better. And I think most people knew, after Mania, he's got to go shoot this movie about MMA, you know. So it's not like he's going to be around that much. But I could see it a little bit more with The Rock, but again, you know, it's kind of like, you know, heel authority figures are so played out and they're so 2013, 2014.
That's right.
We don't need them anymore. It doesn't work anymore.
Waste your time,
quite honestly.
Yeah. All right, we need to take one more break, and we're going to come back and wrap it up. I'm Mark Hoke, along with my good friend Stu Myrick. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Stu and I could probably do this for 10 hours if we wanted to.
Easily.
But I don't think Kate on. Yeah, we should try it sometime on live stream, though. How long could Mark and Stu do a show?
Maybe do good God.
We could line a bunch of people up, do something for charity. I think that would be a good time.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think we should. We got a few people I think we could call, but we are limited on time here on KDON. So I suppose I'm going to hit the music. We're going to take a break, come back with more Stu Myrick from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling down there in Austin, Texas. I'm Mark Hoke, best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. We'll be right back to wrap this thing up. Talk a little bit about a new Bloodline member and, yeah, a little more on TNA, and there's another wrestler who says, I'm feeling okay, but not ready to go yet. We'll be right back.
...101.5 FM, KDON.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. Have a great time on the Mark Hoke Show, best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. keeping Las Vegas wrestling happy, because that's what we do. Stu Myrick from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling joining us on the show. Frequent guest, good pal. Always great to have him on the show. And Stu, we got a new member of the Bloodline. How about that? That was something. Tama Tonga's showing up, beating up Jimmy Uso for his failures. Oh, I was worried Jimmy was kind of going to get thrown to the wolves. And boy, it happened in a rather, shall we say, violent fashion last night. Yikes.
It did. Tama Tonga, of course, you know, multiple time IWGP heavyweight tag team champion. Recently, never open weight champion. It had been talked about for a while that he was going to sign with WWE, and he had signed with WWE. So, and they, you know, it was like they brought him out and he had his debut. And, you know, look, I'm happy for Tama. I got to hang out with the two of them during Super Bowl week in Miami, right before the world shut down. And they're, you know, I'm so happy for them, for Tama. I wonder if Tangaloa will follow his brother, because I think Tangaloa still has a little bit left on his New Japan contract. You know, and there's been a lot of talk about, will Hikuleo go, because he's the younger brother, and others from New Japan. You know, that, and that's where New Japan has to be careful now, because there has been a lot of talk about, you know, this, dare I say, mass exodus of talent going to WWE or AEW. We've seen it already with Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada, and now Tama Tonga, and we could see more. So New Japan has to, they've got to start figuring out, okay, how are we going to fill these voids here? How are we going to shore up our roster so that we can still put on the best shows we can? But at the same time, yeah, at the same time, Tama Tonga now part, I guess, now he's part of the Bloodline. They left it kind of open-ended. Was this, you know, was him attacking Jimmy? Was that by order of Roman Reigns? You saw the reaction of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman, by the way, played it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an interesting few weeks, few months to see how that develops. Could we see more people add to the Bloodline? There's talk right now. The rumor is Jacob Fatu.
Yep.
He signed with WWE. Could he be the next Bloodline member? Of course, former MLW World Heavyweight Champion. He appears quite often at Reality Wrestling down in the Houston area with Booker T. Could we see him join the Bloodline as well? And again, is this all being orchestrated by the tribal chief? Or is this Solo Sikoa deciding, hey, you know what? I'm going to be in charge.
Or is The Rock making a new Bloodline or something? There's a lot of fun possibilities, to say the least. So this is intriguing.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Very intriguing. I'm excited to see where this is all going to end up. But poor Jimmy's in the trash can right now. Jay's going to have to stop him from eating banana peels out in the street. Poor Jimmy. It's pretty sad. But yeah, one more thing. I wanted to get an update here real quick. Big E had put out a notification that while he's feeling okay, no bone growth in his neck, so he's still going to be out for a while. Boy, I'll tell you, Stu, I hate to say it, but I don't know if we're going to see Big E in a ring again anytime soon. This does not sound good.
And I read that as well. And look, I loved Big E in the ring. He was phenomenal. I've interviewed him a couple times. He is one of those top-notch guys that anytime you talk to him, you got to smile. And I hope he has the best life he can have. Even if it's not in the ring, obviously we have seen how well he does on the kickoff shows.
Oh, he's got broadcasting career.
So
absolutely. You know,
If he ends up on commentary somewhere, that'd be fantastic. Just keep him involved. Do kind of like what you do with Titus O'Neil. Keep him involved. have him show up every now and again and just have fun with him and let Big E just live his best life.
Absolutely. Stu, where can everybody find you, my friend?
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, available wherever you get your podcast. Great insight from great wrestling insiders. Episodes usually drop every Wednesday. So yeah, check it out. We have a lot of fun. I get the likes of Mike Sempervive and Rick Cuccino and Dominic D'Angelo and others, you know, to talk about what's happened in the world of wrestling that previous week.
All right. And that is going to wrap it up for us. Stu, thank you for coming on the show. I do appreciate it ever, always. And that's going to do it for us. I want to congratulate all of our winners we had all week long for TNA's Rebellion pay-per-view and the TNA Impact TV takings. Looking forward to seeing all of you out there Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a great time. And I hope you all have a terrific weekend. Get ready for an awesome weekend of pro wrestling. It's going to be something else out of the Palms Theater. And of course, AEW Dynasty too. We'll be talking about that on Sunday as well as reacting to that. And by the way, get ready. We've got Nick Nemeth and Moose. We're doing that interview on Wednesday with myself and Ken Thompson. I don't know what's going to happen to our studio, but it could be rearranged, to say the least. Thanks for being with us, everybody, on The Mark Hoke Show. We'll see you next time. Look up Mark Hoke Show to follow us on all of our venues. We'll see you next week.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show. And visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.